Let's dig into God's Word here this morning. We are in our very last week of our Happy New You series. And as you know, the purpose of this series is to equip you with the tools, with the know-how to get to your goals, to actually get to your resolutions that are made by so many Americans at the beginning of the year, to get to those desires where you see them fulfilled, dreams accomplished, and to break out of what I talked about last week, the cycle of failure. How many know what I'm talking about? Where we, just like Jesse, every year, myself, I would try and do weight loss. And I'd be like, it's going to be the greatest year ever! And boom, I'm back to where I started, December 31. No way, new year, new Jesse, same old Jesse, right? And I just end up coming over and over into this cycle of failure where, and I believe this plagues a lot of us, wherein we end up sounding like a CD that skips. I know we don't listen to CDs anymore, or a vinyl record that skips. How many know what I'm talking about when I say that sound? I was listening to the Everly Brothers the other day. How many know the Everly Brothers? So listen to this clip right here. This is what it sounded like. Right? I mean, this is what we sound like. Every year, same goal, right? Same dream, dream, dream. We never get there, right? Weight loss, weight loss, weight loss, weight without the loss, right, man? Getting out of debt, 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 and we never do. How many know what I'm talking about? And so the purpose of this series has been to equip you in breaking out of that cycle and actually getting to the end of your song. Somebody say a good amen to that. Let's get to the end of the song. Amen. And so the purpose in this series, again, is to get you there, to get you to what I want to call, this word right here, victory. We want to win. Victory is when you cross the finish line, baby. It's when you arrive, when you see that goal fulfilled, you have victory over that goal. You have victory over that desire, over that need, over that resolution. We want to get you here. That's been the purpose of this series. And this is the last message in it. So if there's one teaching, if there's one thing I could share with you in the context of a tool, of a means by which you get to that goal accomplished, where you get to that resolution being met, where you get to that dream, it would be this right here. It would be that right there. And if I can say this as your pastor here today, make sure that you are regularly reading this in your 2017. Make sure that you are regularly speaking this in your 2017. Because this right here carries with it inexplicable power. If you got your Bibles here this morning, I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel number 37. And if you're following along with us on the app, if you haven't downloaded the Journey Church app yet, we kind of threw you a little bit of a curveball this morning because obviously we give everybody the opportunity. We throw our notes in here and you can follow along, add your own notes. As soon as you open up the app, the very top, it says Bulletin and Sermon Notes. We've put our sermon notes in there now. So you just click on that, and then it'll take you right to our today's bulletin, obviously, and then our sermon notes that you can follow along. We have all the scriptures that we're using in the talk, the majority of them, as well as on the screen for you. But Ezekiel chapter number 37, we're going to read quite a few verses here, so let's start here with verse 1. This is Ezekiel writing here, and he says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones." How many have ever heard this story before? Ezekiel and the valley of dry bones. And it says this, "He led me," in verse 2, "back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." We're talking old, ancient bones here that haven't seen life in a long, long time. And it says here in verse 3, God asks Ezekiel this question. Son of man, can these bones live? And I love the answer Ezekiel gives. I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Right? The answer to that question. I mean, Ezekiel's like, far be it from me here to suppose I have the answer to a question like that. What are you trying to say here to me, Lord? Right? And God says to Ezekiel here in verse 4, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones. And I love these next six words. If you like to underline in your Bible, I would underline these next six words in your Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. For this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I love that verse in the NIV right here. I love it also what it says in the Living Bible, and it says this, so I spoke these words from God, just as he told me to. So I spoke these words from God just as he told me to. Our relationship with this right here, this year, is going to depend on our relationship with this right here, this year. Are we reading it every day? Are we speaking it every day in every way? And here's why I'm saying this. Because look at verses 7 through 10. It says, and as I was prophesying. What does the word prophesying mean? Anybody know? Literally means this. Speaking the word of the Lord. That's all it means. Speaking the word of the Lord, which is what we heard him say in verse 7. So I spoke the words that God had told me to. And as I was prophesying, as I was speaking the words of the Lord, check this out, I love this next part, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones that were scattered all across the floor of this desert came together, bone to bone. I mean, it was a freaky thing that is being seen right here in this verse right here. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And I love what it says next. As soon as Ezekiel prophesied, it says, and breath entered them. They came to life, stood up on their feet, a vast army. This is an insane text of Scripture right here. Insane. You know, notice throughout this text that we just read that nothing was happening here until Ezekiel said what God said. Nothing happened in the valley of dry bones until Ezekiel said what God said. I want to break this down because if you look in this verse here, there are three major components to this story. The first major component is God's word, which is seen in verses 5, 6, and 9. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Those statements that God said. That's a component of this verse. The next component of the verse is what I like to call Ezekiel's echo. When Ezekiel in verse 7 and 10 says what God said. That's the second component of the verse. And the third component of the verse is this. Bones becoming stinking people again. Like, that's crazy to me, but it's a component of the verse. The result, the miracle, the crazy part right here. So you see God's word, verses 5, 6, and 9, and you see Ezekiel's echo, verses 7 and 10, and then you see the results at the very end of this text. Bones, becoming stinking people again. Like, notice in this particular text that it wasn't God's word alone that made the bones become stinking people again. That it wasn't God's word on its own that made the bones become people again, become living people again. But in this situation, if I'm looking at this correctly, the bones became living people again. The miracle happened when from out of the mouth of the prophet came the word God said to him. When God's word went in Ezekiel and God's word came out of Ezekiel, that is when the bones became living people again. The miracle happened when from out of the mouth of the man came the word God spoke to the bones. God's word was created to be echoed. Hear me today, Journey Church. God's word was created not just to sit on the page of your scriptural Bible here. God's word was created to be echoed. Let us never underestimate the power of the spoken word. When his words come out of our mouth, results are attached to it. Somebody say a good amen. If you want God's hand at work in your future, here's what you need to do. Start speaking God's word over your future. If you want a God-ordained, a God-soaked, a God-blessed 2017, start speaking God's word over your 2017. I don't know if you know this or not, but the context of Ezekiel 37, this crazy text of scripture that we just read, is visionary in context. In other words, it was a vision that he was seeing. It wasn't something that was actually physically happening before his eyes. This was a vision that he was having. There was symbolism in this vision, and the symbolism of the bones, the bones becoming people, symbolized the coming political and spiritual restoration of the nation of Israel, who at the time of Ezekiel 37 was underneath the oppressive regime of the Babylonian Empire, which came in, conquered Israel, decimated Israel, along with the Assyrian Empire, and decimated them to a point all the Jews were exiled and underneath the slave regime of the Babylonian Empire, including Ezekiel himself, who's been exiled. This is where Ezekiel's writing this, underneath the oppressive regime of the Babylonian Empire. And God gives them this vision about a coming political restoration, about a coming spiritual restoration of the nation of Israel. And God is saying, if you want to get to your future, speak to your future what I have already said about your future. And when he started saying what God said, look at the text. It changed what he saw. Because what did he see when he first came in? God was what? Walking him back and forth among the what? The bones. Very old, dry bones. It had been a long time since Israel had been a nation at this point. And God's walking him through these bones. This is what he's seeing. But as soon as Ezekiel started saying, it was changing what Ezekiel was seeing. Before he had said anything, all he saw was bones. But when he started speaking God's word, come on somebody, let me say it this way. What you see is determined by what you say. Our words have power. If you want to see your home blessed this year, how many want to see your home blessed? You want to see your home drenched in the blessing of God, then start saying what God has already said about your home. Did you know that God has already said what he wants to say about your home within the grip that I have right now? In these pages, God has already spoken over your home. God has already spoken over your marriage. It's all right here. God has already spoken over your life. God has already spoken over your parenting. If you want to see God's blessing in your life, you've got to start speaking God's blessing in your life. How many homes do this? How many people do this? How many marriages do this? How many parents do this? Where we echo God's word to our homes, to our marriages, to our parenting, to our lives. How many people stand in the threshold of their doorway at their house every day and just declare Jeremiah 29:11. Echo Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future." Do we echo this on a regular basis? How many of us wake up throughout the day echoing in spite of the challenges we're going through Philippians 4:19 that says, "For my God will meet." I love another translation, "For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." How many echo this regularly? How many walk around before? How many say this in your car before you go into work and say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water." So when you feel like the waters around you are stormy and choppy, what do? You speak God's word as Jesus did to the storm when he said, "Be still." He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Come on, somebody. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And here's how I know that: "For thou art with me." You ever feel alone? Change that by saying what God's word says: "I'm never alone, for thou art with me." How many of us echo God's word into our life? What I say determines what I see. Some of you right now are going through a storm. Some of you right now are facing a set of circumstances that are attacking every ounce of peace you have in your life. I'm speaking to somebody right now. And you have allowed your words to be words of defeat. You have allowed your words to be words that promote worry. You have allowed your words to be words of failure. And I'm not here to say shame on you for doing that, because it is so easy to do that. So I'm not here to demonize anybody, but it's easy to do it. How many know what I'm talking about? It is easy to allow our words to create worry. It is easy to allow our words to go down the path of failure and lead us down the path of regret. I remember when we were doing Adopt-A-Block through the Dream Center, I ran into a person that used to attend the church back in the day, and I asked them. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" I told them, and this was their answer: "Oh, you know, How many of you have ever gave that answer before? How many of you have ever received that answer? You know. And you know what's coming after that. It's not, God is great. No. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. It was almost like they pulled out, like, you ever seen those cartoons with the royal scrolls and goes down the aisle? They're just reading all the reading the resume of what's going wrong. And I remember I just kind of stopped that person about seven bricks high. And I said, hey, I just want you to know what you're going through. You're not going through alone. God's with you. I'm going to set my faith next to you. I'm going to believe God's breakthrough to come in your life through what it is you're going through. And I remember hearing these words, yeah, but. And they kept building the wall. They kept reading the list. They kept going through the resumes of everything that's going wrong instead of reading the resume of how everything can go right. And I found myself just blown away at this person that kept glorifying the power of their problem over my attempts to glorify the power of the problem solver. And I began to think in the middle of this moment, how often do I do that too? How many times do we do that? Where we succumb to the emotions attached to the challenges we experience and give voice to them. Stress is an emotion that comes with challenge. But God hasn't called us to give stress a voice. Depression can be an emotion that comes with the challenges of life, but God has not called us to give depression a voice. Anger, doubt, frustration, distrust, malice, jealousy, hatred, gossip are all feelings that many times we as the people of God give voice to with our words, and we wonder why things continue down the path of defeat that they do, where we end up giving more praise to the problem instead of to the problem solver. Watch what you say. Anybody? But second nature, we do this though. Like, we just speak defeat immediately. This past week, our family kind of got hit with that bug. Any other homes get hit with a bug this week? I'm not talking a cute little ladybug. I'm talking bug. And it started with Asia, who just sat there on Wednesday, looks at us, and all of a sudden, like the demon baby in The Exorcist, just sprayed hell and damnation all over the room. And when you see a child sick, how many are like this? At least I am, where you care from a distance. Amen. Just like, Lord, just heal now, right? And then I saw Micah come home Thursday. Ugh, I'm not feeling too good. Blah! And you're just like, oh, Lord. Right? I had faith for the baby. But as soon as Maya was like, oh, no, I'm going to get it, you know. Just started predicting. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm already predicting it's going to come to me, you know. I mean, we just do that. We just, oh, things are going to go bad. Things are going to go south. Things are going to go down. We do that so easily with our words. How quickly we just do that. Our response to Jesus has to be first. We need to be first responders with prayer. We got to use prayer as a first response instead of a last resort. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, where were they? In a prison cell. Not just any prison cell. Scripture says they were in the inner cell. The inner cell was where prisoners were put for the death penalty. It's where they were put. In other words, you just weren't in the outer cell where you were going to be in there for a couple of months for a short sentence until you're brought to your... You were put in the inner cell if you were going to be put to death. That's where Paul and Silas were put. Rome finally had two of the biggest troublemakers on the planet in their grips, and they were going to end their lives. If you study the Roman prison cell, I've taught it here before, it's no more than 3 feet tall. There's no floor. It's mud and jagged rocks. Scripture says they were beat with whips, laid on their bloodied backs, feet spread, chained to the walls. No restroom. You went there on yourself to be put to death soon. And I love what verse 25 starts out by saying, about midnight. I read that and I stopped. And I was like, you know what? The life of the believer isn't all sunshine. Isn't all how good I can sing a tune on Sunday at noon. Sometimes we go through midnights. What is midnight? Midnight, by definition, is when the sun is 180 degrees from the observer's position. It's when it's darkest. How many know we go through dark times too? And it says, in about midnight. How many are going through a midnight right now? About midnight. Look at what it says, Acts 16, 25. Paul and Silas were, what? Complaining? Giving voice to their frustration, their doubts? Does it say they were going on Facebook and saying, oh, woe is me, all hell is breaking loose in my life, .. again! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And they just waited for little comments to come in. What's wrong? Are you okay? You know, people just generalize a problem out there, and we do it for attention, right? Paul and Silas weren't doing that. It says at about midnight, when times were, they're in the inner cell, the death penalty's on its way, and it says they were praying and what? Singing hymns. Do you know what hymns were to the Jews around this time? Psalms. The Psalms of David were the hymns. These Jews were raised in the school system to memorize the entire Psalms, so they knew them by heart. And sometimes you would see them put songs to some of the Psalms. And we don't know exactly what Psalm David was singing. Maybe it was Psalm 68 that says, praise be to the Lord, to God our, and I love this next word, how many been in a situation where you need a Savior who daily bears our burdens? That means you haven't forgotten me yesterday. You weren't just in my yesterday. You haven't forgotten me today. You are right here with me, ready to bear what it is that I am going through. Verse 20, our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. The heads of our enemies. Maybe he was singing that psalm. Maybe Silas was singing that psalm. But no matter what they were singing, out of their mouth was coming the proclamation and the praise to the problem solver over their frustration of the problem that they were in and what happens as a result to that. Verse 26 says, suddenly. How many need a suddenly? There was a great earthquake. And all the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains came loose. I thought that was interesting, not just Paul and Silas's, everyone's. That means your praise can not only set you free from your circumstance, God can use it to set somebody else free too. My God. Don't allow the circumstances of your today to interpret his promise for your life tomorrow. See your 2017 through the eyes of his word. See your goals through the eyes of his word and echo your way there. Somebody say a good amen. You see that echo part, that's where faith comes into play. Right here. This right here is where faith comes into play. What I mean by that is, just sitting down and reading. Just doing this. As important as this is not going to do the job alone when it comes to your faith. It won't. I promise you, it won't. It is important for this to go in here, but that's just part one. Because part two is after you put it in here, for what's in here to come out of here. And that's what's interesting, is you see this incredible relationship in God's Word between His Word and our mouths. You see it. Blows me away. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Says, and faith, and I love the translation that says this, so consequently, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Anytime you see the three words, Word of God, in Scripture, specifically the New Testament, as you know, it wasn't written in English. The word for word in the Greek, many times in the New Testament, is a word called logos. L-O-G-O-S. I've never heard that word before, logos. That means, you know what logos means? The word logos means written word of God. Right here. This right here that I hold in my hand is the word of God. Some might say amen. It's the word of God. And it's talking about Jesus as well. Jesus' words are the, what he spoke would be written. It is the written word of God, logos. What's interesting to me is when we read the scripture, I was kind of under that impression here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the logos of God. No, absolutely not. You want to freak your bean right now? Like I'm talking, mind blower? Is that word is not logos in scripture. It's a word in the Greek called rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And you know what rhema means? Spoken word of God. Not just where you read it, but you speak what it is that was written. Now, hear me. This is very important because we got to understand that just this isn't going to do it and produce faith in you alone. You've got to speak it. That's where faith comes. Faith comes through the power of the spoken word. Back up just a couple of verses. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is the ingredient for salvation. Somebody to come to know Christ, somebody to be saved. What does it say? If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right? Did I miss something? Absolutely, I did. If you believe in your heart, because we just made it just a believe game. Like we just got to believe it. No. It says this. You want to be saved? Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord God raised him from the dead. And what? Confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Meaning, you aren't saved until you say you're saved. Salvation doesn't come until you say salvation comes. God uses the power of your mouth to change the very circumstance that you find yourself in. Think about the faith is produced by this right here. That's the God side. Let me talk about the other side again. If faith is produced by what I say, then how many no doubt can be produced by what I say? Man, we got to get this into our hearts, and we got to get this out of our mouths. We got to get this right here going into our hearts and coming out of our mouths. Because when God's word goes into our hearts and out of our mouths, supernatural things take place. Somebody say a good amen. His word out of our mouths has supernatural abilities. And look at Acts chapter 3. How many of you know I could just preach a 4,000 part series on this right here? Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, last story, I promise, are at a gate called Beautiful at a time of prayer, and they run into a man, the scripture says, is crippled, who sat at the who was laid at the gate every day begging for money. Sir, do you have any money? Do you have any silver? Do you have any gold? I'm starving. I need to eat. I can't provide for myself. Can you help me? Can you provide for me? Peter and John roll up on this guy. They see him. And what's the first thing Peter says to the crippled man? I don't got any money. Check my pockets. I mean, I'm wearing a robe. I don't have any pockets. But if I did, there'd be nothing in them. I don't have any money. But what I do have, I give you. What did he have? He had a word. Hear me, Journey Church. He had a word. Because Peter ran into this situation before when he was rolling with Jesus. Mark chapter 2. Matthew chapter. I forget the chapter. It's in Matthew. He's run into a lame man before. He's run into a paralyzed man before. And he saw what Jesus said. And he saw what he said changed what he saw. And he remembers John 14:12, where Jesus said to Peter, "You think this is awesome? Greater works will you do." What did Peter have to give the man at the gate beautiful? He had a word, because he says, "What I have, I give you." And here's what he gives them. Ready? Nothing with his hands. In the moment, he opens his mouth and he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And scripture says, taking him by the hand, he helps him up, and the man leapt to his feet. What did that look like? The dude hadn't walked. I bet it was an ugly leap, and it would have been worth seeing, like he'd never done it before. Probably tried to just get his grip. And it says after that, he started walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. How many are thankful that Peter gave the man the echo to get his legs in the direction God made them to go? There's a power that comes with the spoken word of God. When you echo the abilities of God's word into your circumstance, it changes your circumstance. My God, let's be like Peter and John. Let's speak to it and then pick it up. Some of you feel like your 2017's already gone to hell. Some of you feel like your marriage has already gone to hell. Some of you feel like your parenting's already gone to hell. Some of you feel like your job has already gone to hell. Instead of voicing the frustrations you have about the challenge you're experiencing in any of those areas, how about silence your mouth when it comes to the frustration and open your mouth when it comes to the faith and start speaking to your job. Start speaking to your marriage. Start speaking to your life. Start speaking to your home. Start speaking to your finances. Start speaking to your 2017 and pick it up and take it in the direction that God called your life to go. Speak. Speak. What you say determines what you see. Tell your year, you will be blessed. Tell your finances, you will be prosperous. Tell your marriage, tell yourself. The word went to Ezekiel, and the word came from Ezekiel. So let's plan for this to be a primary part of our 2017. Let's plan. Because if this is a primary part of your 2017, just watch where God's going to take your 2017. Do you got your plan cards? They look like this. They're in the seats. if you would, get them. Grab one. Get in your hand. If there aren't enough and you need one, raise your hand and usher will get one to you. I see hands coming up even over here, brothers. They're going to get them to you as fast as they can. If you need a, we'll wait on that. Keep your hand up and don't let it down until you get one. How many are learning something today? Well, I'll tell you, I'm learning something today. My wife told me this. She goes, "You didn't preach anything new, but boy, did I need to hear it." And I thought about that. A lot of times we need to hear God's word again and again and again. Statistics say that we got to hear something 9 times before we truly remember it. So I'm going to be preaching this message for the next 9 Sundays. Amen. I'm just kidding. I won't. If you need a pen, raise your hand. If you need a pen, they're going to get you a pen. So here's what I want you to do. For those of you that got these cards in your hand, this is the last time we do this for the year. And at the top part of your card on the back, this is what the front looks like right here, your plan. But on the back of the card, this is just kind of an example. So this is kind of what it would look like if you wanted to fill this out. I want you to put your name. I want you to put today's date, which is January 19th, 2017. Man, 2017, that's futuristic. That's already 2 years ahead of what Back to the Future was in the future. What? Another bean freaker. Amen. And I want you to write down, when it comes to this right here, what is your goal? What is it that you feel like God is telling you to do in the context of your commitment to this? Because our commitment to this needs to be every day. So maybe that's something you write on there. I want to read the Bible every day. I want to read it every day. Because listen, you've got to have a plan for it to work. Because if you don't write it down and you don't have a plan, statistics show overwhelmingly how you will more than likely not get there. People say all the time, "I'll read God's word when I feel led to read God's word. He'll lead me." Yeah, and then you go through hell, and I talk to you 4 months later, and I ask if you've been reading God's word, and you say, "Oh, I haven't read a page." Looks like he didn't lead you, right? You weren't listening. You got to have a plan. You got to have structure, accountability to get there. So what is it? Maybe your goal is to read the entire Bible in 2017. You know, to read the entire Bible in 2017 would require you to read just a little over 3 chapters a day. 3 chapters takes 15, 20 minutes. Just your day. Even breaking it up throughout the day. Write that on there. Whatever it is. My wife said to add this because I forgot to say something about it in the first service. But she's like, maybe we need to learn more about how to, like, speak God's word. Maybe we should put on our plan, like, I want to speak God's word every day as well. Not just read it, but speak it. She's like, that's what your message was about, right? Like, yeah. I don't like getting chastised by my wife after the service. Amen. But, you know, just to speak it every day. Well, how do you speak God's word every day? Sometimes I just read aloud what it is I'm reading. It'll just speak to me and I'll just start reading. Or sometimes I'll go straight up bathroom mirror on that joker. Show my bathroom mirror right now. This is what my bathroom mirror looks like right now. That's my bathroom mirror. Mrs. is over there. This is mine. And I wrote that baby right there. Philippians 4:19. God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Why do I write that on there? Because I got to believe for $82,000 for a men's discipleship home this year by September. I got to believe for $82,000. And I don't know where it's going to come from. But when I write that, guess what? I know where it's going to come from. My God will meet all. That just blesses me when I walk into the bathroom. How many walk into the bathroom with just scripture on your heart? Not many of us. I normally don't, but now I do because the thing hits me right out of left field. Whoa! And I'll just look at it. My God will meet all. And then I'll see it when I'm leaving. Hey! And I walk out. My God will. I'll start to quote it. How many know if you start speaking, echoing what it is God said, it's going to change what I see. Amen. I mean, you need. I think it was 8 or 9 weeks ago, we gave everybody a dry erase marker. We gave away hundreds of them. So you got them, I know. So I hope you've been writing on your bathroom mirror, man. Write on that baby. I almost wrote that thing in Sharpie, but Missy wouldn't let me. Amen. I want it tattooed on that mirror. We got to get the word into our heart. And this is what I want you to do. Whatever you're writing here, I want you to fold, and then tear at the perforated line. And this, I love this part. You ready? This is where your plan becomes our plan. Because I want you to take this part after you've dropped the Y, and I want you to give it in these baskets that will be in the usher's hands on your way out the door. And we're going to take them. We're not going to spread them to the world. We're not going to put them on social media. We're going to keep them within our, add them with the ones that you've already given us. And we're going to continue to pray every day over this to stand with you. That way your plan becomes our plan. We want to go through it with you. We want to believe for this need with you. We want to set our faith with you. And a week from Monday, I leave for Arizona with our staff. And I'm going to climb up what they call Faith Mountain, which is a hike to drag this 140-pound body up the mountain. Somebody say, you don't weigh that. I mean, no, you got to start speaking over what it is you're seeing. Amen. Tired of sitting down and my stomach's like, hey, I want to see. No, you don't need to see anything. Amen. Like I said, all right, I got to move on. Just, I'm going to climb that mountain because how many know a journey to a goal, you experience a lot of quitting points. And quitting points climbing a mountain is for me like doing this. Where it hurts to take another step, right? And I've got these, your dreams, your goals, your resolutions in a backpack in my back. And I'm carrying them up that mountain. I'm going to pray when I get to the top for your needs. Bring them back down. We're going to keep them in our office. And the last Sunday of this year is December 31. I love it. I love it that the first Sunday of the year is January 1 and the last Sunday is December 31. And we're going to give them back to you on Sunday, December 31st. All the things you've given us. And believing that everything that you see will have been met and accomplished. Now you got this part that you'll take home. And in this part right here, you're just going to echo. Put that up if you would, sister. What the other side of this, the bottom part of the card is. Where you would just take this part right here with you. Do you guys got that? That bottom part of that card? There it is, right there. Thank you so much. Is you would just write, all right, well, this right here is your plan of what you want to see, but this part right here is what's God's plan for you to get there. Let him lead you on how to accomplish that. If your goal is to read the entire Bible in 2017, then get a Bible reading plan to where just allow God to speak to you in this space later on today, this week. Maybe it's read three chapters a day. There's different Bible reading plans. I'd recommend you right now, write on your card right now the words YouVersion. YouVersion, YouVersion, YouVersion. They're an incredible company that has a Bible app on a phone or a tablet. They're created by Life Church in Oklahoma City, an incredible church, incredible ministry, and there are so many Bible reading plans. There's Bible reading plans to get you to read the entire Bible for husbands, and there's little commentaries for wives, for single people, for dads. There's so many different Bible reading plans that you can read on there. Go to YouVersion and check that out. And write down other things that God speaks to you to ensure that you're getting his word. Here's one thing you can write on your card. I'll tell you what, God, I want you to write. Be faithful in your church attendance. Because what do we do here? We give you God's word. We put it into your heart for you to go out and live out and say and speak out. That's a way to connect to God's word. Into your heart and out of your mouth. How many are ready for a 2017 with those results? Amen. Amen. I want to ask our deacons and our communion team, if they would, to come. I want to ask us if we would to stand in this moment.